This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Mike Somich of VSiN will join us. We will go over the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Kentucky Derby, exciting weekend ahead, all the baseball action, along with the playoffs of all the spring sports. So just a great weekend of sports. Excited to talk about it, excited to talk to Mike. But before we get to that, we have one Game 7 in the NBA. It looked for a while like we'd have one more with the Pistons and the Knicks. And this Game 6 was really a microcosm of the entire series, because it looked like we're heading for a Game 7. If you're the Pistons, you're sitting here and saying, man, we played six games. We really could have won all six of them. We led in the fourth quarter of all six of them. And it started in game one, where the Pistons led by nine in game one in the fourth quarter and lost that game. Were able to hold on for dear life in game two, lost three at home, lost four at home. Were able to win in game five in the Garden. And then just a strange game here in game six, and a game that was really indicative of the series, because the Knicks led 103-92 with 8 minutes to go. When you're up 11 with 8 minutes to go, you feel like, you know what? The game is over. The series is probably over. And before you could blink, the Pistons led the game 112-105 with 2.5 to go. So just a remarkable run by the Pistons to get back into, not only get back into this game, but to grasp firm control of this game. And to say, you know what, we're probably headed to a game seven, but before he can blink, the Knicks are back in it. And this series, this game, really all around the board fits all the cliches of the NBA playoffs. Because what do you always hear about the NBA playoffs? You need to crawl before you can walk. You need to walk before you can run. And that really fit this series, because the Pistons have had control of all of these games. And 112-105 with 2:35 to go, the Pistons led. The Knicks get a jump shot, an and one from Brunson to cut it from 112-107. Free throw makes it 108, and then all of a sudden you're back into it. And then, you know, Bridges gets the tip in late to tie the game. Pistons have a chance to, you know, run the clock down, which they didn't do. They turned the ball over. Then all of a sudden, it's on the Knicks racket. And then Brunson with a play that was very reminiscent. And look, you can quibble and say it, there's a lot of differences, which there are. But a play very reminiscent, just visually, optically, of Jordan versus Russell in the 96 NBA Finals, where he's going left, he goes back right, and shoots the ball. Now Brunson hits a three. It's still, and people will say, you know what, it's not the finals. I get you can quibble. Of course it wasn't the finals, but Brunson goes from left to right, pulls up, hits a three in the tie game to put them up by three. Again, Jordan's was in the finals. Jordan was a completely different situation over Brian Russell. But just visually, optically, it reminded me of that shot where, just from a visual perspective, it was very, very similar. And Knicks go up by three in that situation. Pistons turn it over once again. And, you know, it's an old adage. You gotta get there, and you got to take your lumps, and you got to climb up the ladder before you can eventually win it for the Pistons. And look, a lot of these teams get there and climb the ladder, and never get there. It's hard to win in the NBA, but the Knicks hold off. They win this series 4-2. It could have easily been Pistons 4-2. It could have easily been Pistons, you know, 4-1. I mean, the Pistons, for a six game series where you lost 4-2, to lead all six games is very unusual. Thibodeau, I thought, got very fortunate, because that offense is very stagnant, very complacent. I mean, they just stand around and hope that Brunson can either make a play, get to the free throw line. But a good game, a really good game, a really good series. All six games could have gone either way. I know I sat here before the series started and said, you know what, I like Pistons in six, 9-1. And then after game one, it was 12-1. And I don't feel like that was a bad bet. The Pistons were right there in all of these games. It's just, you know what, the Knicks have more experience. They've got a little more talent, not by much, Not by much. And by the way, JB Bickerstaff is not exactly Red Auerbach himself. Bad challenges throughout the series. Couldn't hold on. His teams fell apart in big spots, but that's how it goes. That's how the playoffs go. So the Knicks advance. They will play the Celtics. Celtics -800. Knicks +550. And you look at both of these Eastern Conference semifinals. They're both very similar. Where Celtics -800, Knicks +550, Cavaliers -500, Pacers +450. I can't see either being a seven-game series. I think both series being a sweep or either series being a sweep seems disrespectful, but I would put both series in the same bucket. Knicks win a game, maybe two. Pacers win a game, maybe two. Again, the Knicks pulling an upset seems far-fetched. The Pacers pulling an upset seems far-fetched. Getting swept seems disrespectful. I think both of these series fall into that 5 to 6 category where, look, it's something we've talked about since December, January. We're probably on a collision course here for a Celtics Cavaliers Eastern Conference Finals, and nothing I've seen in the first round changes my mind. So, I mean, look, are you looking to lay the -800 with the Celtics or lay the -500 with the Cavaliers? You're probably not, but that is probably the conference finals we are looking at here. As far as the West, Clippers was pretty matter of fact, close game at half. They pull away, they win. They win fairly comfortably. Nuggets never really stretch in the second half, so we will have a game seven and Nuggets Clippers. And keep this in mind when you're betting these series and games. Once game six goes to the team that's down 3-2, just bet the under blindly as soon as you can on the opener, because Clippers Nuggets opened 209.5 for game seven. It immediately went down at 206, 207.5, 206.5, and 204.5 as we're recording this. Wouldn't be shocked if it kept going. Boy, this has felt like a seven game series the whole time. I would still, if I had to play anything, I would still play the under. I think this game will slow down. We'll play in a slow pace. It'll slow down. It'll be in a half court scenario here. So just keep that in mind. And really, not just NBA, NHL, any of these seven games, the under takes the money here. So under is is the play here. Even at the worst number here, even though it opened 209.5 and went down to 204.5. I wouldn't be shocked if this closed 107.5, 108.5, something in that scenario. Again, you're talking about a 9-10 point movement from the opener. I understand that's an extreme adjustment, but these game sevens have historically been under. And give the Clippers credit, they bounced back. The Nuggets did cover depending on when you got the opener, because Kawhi missed a free throw at the end at six, and this was anywhere from 6 to 7. So anytime you hear, oh, half point, doesn't matter. Well, these points matter, these half points matter, but this is a series that has felt like it's been destined for seven the entire time, and we are getting a seventh game here in Denver. Boy, Clippers are laying a point again, 204.5. Life on the line. I just can't trust the Clippers. I will go with Denver. I will go with the home court. I will go with Jokic, who's not only the best player in the planet, but he's the best player on the planet by a pretty wide margin. I understand the Clippers have more answers. They've got more depth. I get all of that. But I will go with Denver to advance and play OKC. And look, some of these teams that have advanced already, OKC, Cleveland, Boston, some of these teams are just sitting back, licking their chops like a hitter in baseball, just waiting on a 3-1 count. Some of these teams that are just waiting to play their opponent. I think that's a major advantage in terms of the rest, the preparation. So, like as many game sevens as possible. We'll see if we can get a game seven in Golden State, Houston. That is another game six here on Friday. Golden State laying five. I think Golden State wins, but I would have no interest laying the five. If anything, boy, I'd probably take the five. I think Golden State wins, but probably wins a close game. Game three was close in Golden State, even though they pulled away at the end. Game four was close. They won by three. They won, but they didn't cover. So I would look for Golden State to win. Probably like life on the line, I'd pick Golden State to win, but I am not laying the five. So I would look towards Houston to cover. So Should be good sports weekend. I mean, not just a good sports weekend, great sports weekend. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Kentucky Derby, all the baseball. So exciting sports weekend ahead. We'll talk to Mike Samish. That is next. This is the Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him all over VSiN, Ready, Set, Bet. It is the great Mike Samish. Talk a little Derby, maybe some NBA. Mike, what's up, man? Great time of the year. How's it going?
Oh, it's my Super Bowl week, Will. I love it. We got huge racing on Friday with the Kentucky Oaks, Saturday with the Kentucky Derby. Two phenomenal cards and a possibility of six game sevens on Saturday across the NBA and the NHL. How couldn't you be excited?
Yes, and we're recording this before the games on Thursday, so we won't know exactly how many game sevens. We have one game Friday, which is going to be a little weird after all of the basketball all day and all night for, you know, these past couple of weeks. But we'll start with the Derby. My buddy, the Bear, Chris Felica, likes to do this. Instead of starting at the top and who's going to win, let's just focus on who's not going to win. In your mind, 20 horse field. Are there three, four, five horses you can just throw out? Is this a year where it's harder to throw out horses? Give me your thoughts on that.
I'll give you six that you can chuck right out of the gate. This year, the draw was very interesting. So anytime you have 20 horses in a race, what post position those horses are in make a big difference toward their chances to be able to win the race. And this year specifically, the speed of the race drew extremely poorly here. If you are on the inside or the outside, you don't want to be a horse who wants to be on the lead because A, if anything goes wrong at the break, there's no chance you're making the lead. And B, if everything goes right, you've got to get out of there with your hair on fire to try and get to the front because you're either trying to clear everyone from the inside or clear everyone from the outside. Well, we had speed draw the 1, the 2, the 3, the 5, and the 20 this year, as well as the 12 post. Because of that, I'm willing to throw out the number 1, Citizen Bull, the number 2, Neo Equos, the number 4, Rodriguez, the number 5, American Promise, the number 12, East Avenue, and the number 20, Owen Almighty from any ticket I am betting because I think speed is going to back up when we get to the final turn of this race.
What about the Baffert horses? You mentioned Citizen Bull, Rodriguez. It seemed like I was listening to our buddy Drew Dinsick's podcast, and he said he heard an interview with Baffert, and if you just read between the lines, it seemed like he was higher on Citizen Bull than Rodriguez. What are your thoughts on those two horses? I know you just hit on Citizen Bull.
Yeah, both of them. I would agree with what Drew said. It does feel like Baffert is higher on Citizen Bull. He has talked in interviews how Citizen Bull is going to go to the lead. His best horses generally go to the lead. They're not horses that try and stalk. The 1, Citizen Bull, and the 4, Rodriguez, has faced each other before. And when they have faced each other, it's been Citizen Bull that has won the race. And it has been Rodriguez who is considered kind of the blocker for Citizen Bull in those situations. Citizen Bull also won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, was a 2-year-old champion last year. I think because of the draw and because of what we have heard from Bob Baffert, you can expect the 1, Citizen Bull, to try and be on the front end, which I think is a disastrous trip. But I do expect him to be better than Rodriguez because Rodriguez, when he has stalked the pace, when he's not been on the lead, he's just been bad. And if that's the choice to have him stalk on Saturday, I think he's in a world of trouble.
What did you ultimately land on for your card? Who are you betting?
I don't like betting the favorite. So journalism, I think, should be the favorite, is going to win this race a lot of times that it is run. But if you have a horse at 3-1, they have to win, what, 25% of the time for you to break even? That's a little bit too big of an ask for me. The horse that's being forgotten right now in the betting is the number 18, Sandman. 5-1 on the morning line. Right now, 12-1 on the live odds boards as we record this. Sandman, the 17, is taking a bunch of money. Rodriguez, the 4, taking a bunch of money. That's forcing the price up here of the number 18, Sovereignty, who I think is the second best horse in this race behind journalism. I mentioned the pace. It's going to be hot. I think that we're going to see closers do very well in this situation. Sovereignty has a win over the track. That was his third race as a 2-year-old where he won the Grade 3 Street Sense, coming from off the pace. Looked phenomenal down the stretch. Now we get the third race in the 3-year-old campaign back at Churchill Downs here in the Kentucky Derby. I think it's Sovereignty's day on Saturday.
Who is the longest shot that you thought about but you couldn't quite get there?
So on top, the longest shot I thought about and not going to quite make it is the 14 Tiztastic. Tiztastic reminds me a lot of Mage, actually. When I watched the Louisiana Derby, Mage won the Derby 2 years ago by being the most athletic horse in the field and beating other horses to holes on the backstretch and the far turn to allow him to get a better trip than his competitors. Tystastic has a lot of that athleticism, and I think that's an underrated quality here. So Tystastic was the closest big price that I'm not going to have on top. I am going to have Grande at 20-1 on top and a couple tickets as well. That's the number 10 horse for Todd Pletcher. Mike Rapoli, John Velasquez going to ride. The most lightly raced horse in the field, the most likely to improve. I thought the Wood, his last race where he ran second to Rodriguez, is much better than it looks on paper. And he's being forgotten at the windows right now around 18-1. So I like the 10 Grande a bit too.
And again, we're recording this Thursday, so we're still a couple days away. But what are we looking at? Weather factor, no factor? What do you think?
It has been a drizzly week at Churchill Downs. It's supposed to rain a little bit today, supposed to rain a little less tomorrow. Sunday or Saturday is supposed to be sunny. So I think we are going to dodge all the bullets, probably a good to firm turf and a fast track on Sunday or Saturday.
Anything you like in the Friday races?
Yeah, I really respect Good Cheer, who's going to be running in the Kentucky Oaks. She's tough to get around, but the price is extremely short there, sitting at just 6-5. I'm going to play her on top and then play Exactas with the 9 Tenma for Bob Baffert and the 6 Ballerina de Oro, who I think will absolutely love an off track underneath. They're 12-1 and 10-1 respectively, so you get a little bit better value there. And then race number 9, the 8 Bells from Churchill Downs on Friday. I like the number 9, Bourbon Memory, quite a bit here. Not 8-1 on the morning line. The horse has run 4 times over synthetic, never touched the dirt, but is bred to love the dirt. Bolt Oro on the top, Empire Maker on the bottom. I think this horse outruns the odds at 8-1 in the 9th race at Churchill Downs on Friday.
What's your watching routine? Where do you watch? What do you do? Anything special?
I've been all over the place. So I was at the Derby the year with Rich Strike won. I've been playing Kentucky Derby live betting tournaments a couple years prior to that. So been here at the house watching it in California. This year, I'm going to be in Vegas. I'm gonna be at the D broadcasting during the Kentucky Derby. So it's a little bit different of experience for me. Going to be on SiriusXM Channel 158 and Mad Dog Radio from 4 to 8 Eastern on Kentucky Derby Day, leading everybody up to the Kentucky Derby. We'll have 3 graded stakes on before it, and then obviously covering the Kentucky Derby and then all those possible game sevens as well.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. What do you look for this Friday game? Golden State now up to 5 in some spots against the Rockets. Feels like they close it out. I don't know that I'm dying to lay 5. These 2 games in Golden State have been pretty close. Golden State obviously punted game 4 not very quickly. I mean, they got down 30 and then remarkably it looked like they may have to bring their starters back in or force their starters back in with that good run. Just a strange game. What do you like in this game, if anything?
I'm tempted to touch up the under, sitting at 203.5 right now. We have seen lower scoring games, specifically in Golden State. We saw the first game, neither team get to 100, game 3 in Golden State, a 104-93 final. I don't expect the offensive outburst that we saw in game 5 to continue into game 6, specifically from the Rockets, who rarely put up a buck 31 in a game. So I'm leaning toward the under here. I like unders as these series get deeper. You see longer possessions. You see more effort on the defensive side. I think you're going to have an under game here in game 6 in Golden State.
What about Cavs Pacers? Cavs like minus 500 for the series. Just heard some sentiment here for the Pacers. Oh, they could put up a fight, which you're not really saying anything if you think they could put up a fight. I mean, pick them or don't pick them. I kind of hate when people say they're going to put up a fight. I'm torn between Cavs in 5, Cavs in 6. Do you have a differing opinion? Do you think the Pacers could actually win this series? I don't think anybody thinks it's going to be like a Cavs sweep. That would be dismissive, but what are you thinking here?
I think the Pacers can put up a fight, but I'm not going to bet the Pacers in this spot. If I'm going to bet this series, I haven't looked at what the over under for the series games is. Usually it's listed at 5.5. Yes. If I'm catching plus money on the over 5.5 games, that's the route that I would like to take to bet this series. Cause I do think the Pacers can take a game or two from the Cavs in this spot. And if I can catch plus money on them taking 2 games, I'll play that in the series.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at with it, where I don't think, and look, these may be underrated. I think I've underrated them. I think I maybe underrated the Cavs, too. I think 7 would probably be a stretch. I'd be surprised if it went 7. I think 4 is short. It's somewhere between 5 and 6, and I don't really give Indy much of a chance to win. How about hockey here? What do you think in terms of these Friday games? We've got the Maple Leafs and the Senators. Anything you've played in any of these hockey games?
So the Friday games, it looks like we're just going to have Jets Blues on Friday. Yes, I'm going to play St. Louis at minus 105. This Blues team is different at home. It's just that simple. They lost game 1 and 2 on the road, lost game 5 on the road. Game 3 and 4, they dominated the Jets on home ice. And one thing that people don't always realize if you're not a big hockey fan, you get the last change on home ice, which means that you get to set your line. The other team, the visiting team, has to put their line on the ice first, and then you can choose who you want against them from your team. That means that you can play the matchups. The Blues able to get their first line away from the Jets' first line. And I'm like, the Jets also a little banged up. Mark Scheifele, their captain, their best player, leaves game five after one period, did not return. We don't have a medical update on him, whether or not he'll be back for game six. But that would be a big loss for a Jets team that was already missing other pieces. So give me the Blues here, minus 105 on Friday.
Yeah, so only one NBA game on Friday and one NHL game on Friday. After all, we get
we're slowing down.
I know. I know. I mean, we had that Wednesday night where we had four NBA games, three going on at once, multiple NHL playoff games, all of the baseball. It's a lot. Second round's good, though. I always think second round is a good blend between the quality and the quantity, where, you know, you get rid of the Heat-Cavs kind of matchups. It's mostly good competitive series and games, and you still get the volume. It's not like the conference round where it's only one game a day. So got to enjoy it. All right, Mike, this was fun, man. Last word. Who comes in first? Who comes in last? Who wins the Derby? Who comes in last?
Sovereignty wins the Derby.
Okay.
18 horse, the last place finisher. I actually love this bet. Go out, find Owen Almighty. You can get him as high as 20-1 to finish last. He's the number 20 horse. He only wants to go a mile, and this race is a mile and a quarter, and he's a speed horse. That is the perfect recipe for a last place finisher, because he'll bolt out of the gate and then fold it up and sit in a lawn chair on the far turn and back up to the back of the pack.
That's a good one. Most books offer that horse to finish last. I know I've seen it.
You can find it at most books. Last year it was at Caesars. It was at Circa. I saw it at DraftKings last year as well. We'll see if all those post it back up. But yeah, you usually can find who will finish last in the Derby as well.
Should be fun, man. Mike, appreciate it, man. We got to do this more. Thanks for the time. Let everyone know where they can find you.
You got it, Will. Yeah, you can find me over on X at Somobomb18, SOMOBOMB18. On the weekends, you can catch me over on VSiN. 10 a.m. Pacific to 1 p.m. 10 a.m. Pacific to 1 p.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern to 4 p.m. Eastern. Ready, set, bet over on VSiN proper and channel 158 on SiriusXM.
Mike, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
You got it, Will.
All right. Thank you to Mike Somich. Rate, review, subscribe. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Derby, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, baseball. Great time of the year. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll see you Monday. Be back then.